So, a cesspool, a blanket of moral turpitude. How long has it been since you heard that, huh? How long has it been since you heard the word turpitude used? Welcome, folks. You're tuned into the Hagmann Report. It is Tuesday, January 20th, 2026. Thanks for joining me tonight. Thanks for your belief and trust in this platform. Although I've got to say, well, I got a great show lined up for you. The second hour, I asked Dr. Williams to come on at that late hour. Because people are getting sick, respiratory viruses. What the heck's going on? I want to know. Is there some kind of new virus? And then the news of this. Did you see this, folks? Perhaps some leak of a virus in the continental U.S. Yeah. So, but I wanted to ask her questions about what the heck, what's going on here with respect to the new viruses. But the first hour, I got a lot of stuff to get into because. Well, there's a lot of news, and you and I haven't been together in a while, so we only have this hour, so I'm going to get right into it. It's almost like the same stuff, different day, and I do feel like that meme, the meme that is just posted everywhere. Chris Farley van down by the river, for the love of God, arrest somebody. You know the meme I'm talking about, right? Yes, arrest somebody. Are you going to do that? Obviously, one of the things that needs to be addressed, is the church issue. The Minneapolis church that was invaded by a mob led by none other than Don Lemon. When I say led by, and I say that, you know, anymore, I've got to be careful of my words, okay? I want to talk about that first, but before I do, and the reason I say I got to be careful about my words, I'm going to show you something. Folks, I don't know how many of you follow me on Twitter. It doesn't matter. Or just watch the Twitter feed. Are we live on Twitter right now? Eric Tech? We live on Twitter? Or do we? It doesn't matter. I posted this on Twitter. When was it? I don't know. Or X or whatever that platform. I'm sorry. X, the X platform. I posted this. When did I do this? Yesterday. It was only yesterday. Okay. Did you folks, I'm going to enter the chat. Folks, if you're not listening or if you're not a member of Rumble chat, join us in the Rumble chat. Just behave. All right. That's all. But did you see what I posted on Twitter or X? I'm sorry, X. I'm going to go to the chat and just see here if anyone saw what I posted. Look, it's not about Lemon. Okay, it's not about Don Lemon. It's not about that. Mighty Quinn 97, 97, 97, 97, 97, 97, 97. It's not about Don Lemon. It's not about, in fact, it's not about any one of those people in that going into the church. It's about what didn't happen. In fact, I'll address that first because I saw that comment. I'm not going to play this, all right, because you've seen this everywhere, right? You get a bunch of people going into the church. Did you, folks, am I right to suspect, and please, I'm going to depend on you, on the feedback in the Rumble chat. Did you see the video clip of the people going into the church in Minneapolis, the protesters, and shouting at the people, and then the young child kind of cowering by the chair? Did you see that? Have you seen it? So, in fact, type in caps or type in. Okay, so I got yes. So you've all seen that, right? I'm not going to play it for you. It's not about Lemon. It's not about those low life scumbags, pieces of shit that walked in there. Okay, it's not about that. what it's about. Consider that there was a shooting in a church, Christian church, not that long ago, not that far away. And these people come busting in the doors. And here is the issue that I think needs to be addressed that I haven't heard anyone address. What the hell did the men in that church do? Where were the men? Look. I'm not saying this to disparage any of the guys, any of the men. But if I would have been in that congregation and, you know, seen the doors blow open and a bunch of these whack jobs come in, let me tell you something. All right. You'd be still be reading about the results. Me. Okay. You'd be still reading about the CSI would still be there. I would not take any chances. What the hell? Guys in the congregation, there was no movement. There was just mouths agape. No one fought back. No one seemed to even, I mean, they were startled. They were scared. Watch the footage, okay? I have an issue with this. Somebody comes into my church, I can guarantee you there's going to be a few people that will draw down on those people immediately without hesitation. Every man I know would protect, stand in front of, armed, aiming a weapon. I mean, straight between the friggin' eyeballs at those morons. Me included. Why didn't that happen? Is that a fair thing to ask? Again, I'm asking everyone listening and watching this in the chat. Is that a fair thing to ask? Why didn't that happen? Given the political climate there, are you telling me no one was caring? Are you telling me that y'all went to church, guys, with your wife and your precious wives and your precious children, and no one was friggin' caring? Or if you were, you just, what? What's the excuse? Let me tell you something, okay? There will be a time very soon. And remember, I didn't I say the week before that shooting, mass shooting, the shooting by the ICE agent, where he was struck by the good car, that there was going to be bloodshed involving ICE? Didn't I say that? Yeah, it was like, of course, that's a no-brainer. Just as this is a no-brainer. And you may say, well, that's, you know, whatever your excuse. Look, to me, if that would have been me, and I don't know, I'm, you know what? Tell me if I'm wrong, chat. Guys in the chat, tell me if I'm wrong. If that would have been you in there, would you have drawn down? Would you have been there standing in front of your wife, your child, your children, your grandmother, your sister, your whoever you go to? Would you be there and saying, oh, no. I mean, before the first person hit the middle of that aisle, and I'm being generous there, there would be a little red dot on their body. I guess, I don't know, nobody's interested in that. Okay, so R. Casper Shaw, the better question is why the church was locked up. What do you mean, was it locked up? I thought it was open. I thought that's how the guy did they bust it? I mean, if they busted the doors in, I'll tell you what, that's... And hell yes, Doug, thank you very much. Now, I'm not looking for agreement. I'm looking for your idea, your opinions. But thanks for agreeing with me. Or Lord forbid, if I wasn't caring for whatever reason, I would do my best to grab one of those idiots by the hair, by the scruff of the neck, and I'd use them as a battering ram to put them out the doors. But again, I'm looking for the response by the Christian men out there. If you're going to be the protector of your family, you better start protecting, because I'm going to tell you, this is going to get worse, because Christians are in the crosshairs. You understand that, right? Christians are now in the crosshairs. Why? Because we are fighting true evil, and they hate Christians, and they hate normal Christians. We are in a time of incredible evil right now. So if you're not strapped, if you're not wearing, and if you're not prepared to take, if you're not prepared to use it, then leave it home. Just understand, you're exposing yourself, your family, to a world of trouble. And you know what? I get the fact. Well, you shoot somebody in one of these blue cities, and the Hennepin County DA is a Soros, sick of it. Look, I get that. I fully understand that. But I'll tell you what. I who gives a crap? All right. I don't care. Take me to friggin' jail. Charge me. Go ahead. Charge me. I'll sit in jail. All right. That's what I want. The conversation did kind of drift toward the threat level. And yes, there is a heightened threat level against Christians, against churches. And of course, our surveillance of the chat rooms, forums and such, we see this as well. There's organizations, and I'll show you which organizations are active, and they're all communist backed. They're all well funded. They're all well. And you know what? They're all networked together. And, I've gone over this and over this and over this, but I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to give you a warning right now. It is only going to get worse, and it's going to get more violent and it's not limited to Minneapolis, St. Paul. It's any blue city, but it's only going to get worse. Please take my word for it, because these people are planning for bloodshed. These people are armed as well. All right. They have weapons. And quite frankly, they're mentally ill. All right. So, and they're evil. Yeah, you know what's coming. Okay. Mind go home now. I'm done. Now, I want to show you this. I want to show you this. This weekend, yesterday, I posted this on my time on X. Okay, I don't know how many people saw this, but here it is. Eric, go ahead and put this up. You can put it up next to me, or I don't know if people want to read it. Go ahead and put it up when you have a chance. This is from my ex posting the posting I did, and there it is right there. So what I did, and I was just in a humorous mood. Man, I can get in trouble without even trying anymore. Okay. Found on a Minneapolis anti-ICE group. Please share. And I tagged a few people. I don't know. Well, I got some traction. Did you see this, folks? I don't know. Have you seen this? I created this, actually. So what I did was I just copied some organization letterhead stuff first, logos. And I wrote this. I said, "Attention comrades and liberal white women, septum pierced queens. The fight against the Trump-led imperialist patriarchy, ICE fascist, cishet oppressors, and basic reality is costly." Now, having read that one sentence, do you think this is for real? We're asking for donations at the following levels. And there's, I don't know how many levels was it. One, two, let's see, one, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six levels. Tim Walz premium package. Palette of men's tampons. 2 quarts of horse milk. You know, parentheses. Tim's personal squeeze. Men's bedazzled ballet flats. Dancing Queen CD, Guide to Animal Husbandry, 2 jazz hands, left ones only, new Somali, scratch up, Minnesota flag decal, scratch off lottery ticket for trip to communist China, coach one way only, donation $1,000. And I'm not going to read the whole thing. Oh, one of my favorite, though, was Jacob Fry's quick unifying Elite Energy Rucksack, which is QUEER, the acronym QUEER. Folks, again, anyone here believe that this was like real? Just ask. All right. In the Jacob Fry's package, is this the best of on-the-go Somali cuisine? 1 package of sun-dried goat or camel jerky. A box of Kenjiro breakfast bars made with fermented cornmeal. 1 size fits woke skinny jeans, pre-torn post-protest distressed look. 6 pairs of rainbow socks. And then my favorite, not leering, but leaning Somali, and 12 easy lessons DVD, and the subtitles are pronouns. Again, you believe in this? And Ilhan Omar, for example, you know, her memoir, My Brother, My Wife, My Alibi, Keith Ellison. two-piece slightly used carry-on luggage suitable for money transport, and so on. And I picked on the DA, of course, and the chief of police, just because I can. Yeah. You know how many times I got turned into law enforcement? You know how many times this got turned into law enforcement? I'm asking. Is this real? Is this real? Where'd you find this? What is this? Have we lost our flipping minds? Has everyone lost our minds? Help me. Yeah. So I had a conversation with the feds. They knew it was a look. They knew, but people kept tagging the FBI. Apparently, they tagged the FBI like over 65 times. So what I was going to do was I was going to put a new one up, which was and tell me, folks, if I should do this or not. Because I'm just a glutton for punishment. This one was, let's see here. This one is going to be, and I haven't quite got this done yet, but on the mayor's letterhead or the city of Minneapolis letterhead I was going to put up, and I could send this to, that's all right. The city of Minneapolis, Office of the Mayor, Jacob Fry, announcement Friday, January 23rd, 2026, is Somali Amnesty Day, or SAD, the acronym SAD. And the text would be, after successful negotiations with Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, I'm pleased to proclaim this Friday, January 23rd, 2026, Somali Amnesty Day in the city of Minneapolis to ease tensions and to give our leftist comrades engaged in criminal obstruction a mental health break beyond what they already have. Our cherished undocumented Somali neighbors within the city of Minneapolis and under the jurisdiction thereof will be permitted full and unhindered freedom of movement without fear of arrest or deportation from 12:01 a.m. through 11:59 p.m. Friday. the next paragraph with the little flag, required. This is required to ensure the safe passage of uninterrupted activities. However, you must be readily identifiable to be or by a clearly visible name tag attached to your coat with your first and last name legible. That's it. Please inform your undocumented families, friends, coworkers, daycare center owners, fellow cartel members of this day of amnesty. And this is suggested but not required. As a display of your goodwill, please proudly introduce yourself to any federal agent present in your area. Extend your hand, preferably both palms together. Did we lose oxygen here? Is that, no, I'm back though, right? We're back. Are we back? Go figure. All right. This, I just want to finish this. As a display of goodwill, please proudly introduce yourself in any, to any federal agents present in your area. Extend your hand and then parenthetically, preferably both palms together, and offer a proud saluma, the Muslim greeting. Now, and then right below that, there's a solid line. Then right below that is the entire notice in Somali. So what do you think, folks, in the chat? By show of hands or by yes, should I post it? Yeah, I know it's frozen. We're frozen and gone and now back. All right. So, yeah, I'm a little bit behind on the chat, apparently. So what do you think? Should I post it? All right. Because I want to get in trouble. I do want to get in trouble with pretty much everybody. All right. Okay. So there's that. Now, so some of the things I found, I just want to touch on this stuff because if you've been watching, and this is something that I go back to, and I really think is important. If you go back to the body language analysis, when I spoke about that, and you know, the discues for deception, and obviously, look, you're not going to be a lie detector. You're not going to be able to say, well, that person's lying. Now, you're going to observe and note signs of that person being deceptive. But when you look at some of the open statements by the chief of police and by Walls and by Omar and you know, others, okay, when they're, and generally speaking, all of them being public figures have easily, you can easily grab their baselines, okay, in terms of, because look, they're accomplished speakers or they're in front of the cameras most of the time. So you can cite the deviations or look at the deviations from their baseline, and you can tell when they're delivering a statement if they're lying. And I can tell you this pretty much 99% of the time, in my view, when I say lying, being deceptive, 99% of the time, I've seen nothing but deception. Okay. Nothing but deception. All right. So, but what I want to do is just to show you what is taking place in Minnesota. And the reason I'm kind of focusing on this right now is this. To properly deconstruct, look, Nick Shirley did a great job. 23-year-old young man. He did a great job going out there and exposing all of this stuff and, you know, having the video go viral. I mean, just a tremendous job. Nothing away. I'm not taking anything away from him at all. But to really do this justice and to really understand how everything is, what's going on here, you've got to look at pretty much the, when I say history behind this, I don't want to make this boring, but you have to look at how this all came about. So here's what I want to show you first. The 1, 2, 3, Eric Tech, sorry for not posting this. The Somali invasion into our country started really in the 1990s. Okay. I'll get into that momentarily, but what happened under Obama is the real ticket here. It'll be the third video down. Because Obama really started this Somalian invasion, especially in the Midwest. So let's take a look at this, because this is all part of a larger deception and blanket of moral turpitude that you really have to understand in terms of its evil, the level of evil that's behind this. Because people say, well, this is about votes. This is about, replacement, replace. Look, yes, it is, but it's not only about that. This is an evil takeover, and Obama really put this into high gear. So let's go to video 3. Obama started this Somalian invasion. It'll be video 3 on the show notes at HagmanPI.com. Here it is. Watch this.
And my father was waiting for me. I asked him, what's a Negro? And he said, that's your clan name in America. So I'm so glad that today that clan name of mine is where Obama comes from. Barack Hussein Obama. Barack Hussein Obama.
If everybody comes out, if everybody who's eligible to vote, who's a registered voter, makes it out, I have no doubt that we're going to win Ohio.
Okay. Now, can you just pause that and keep that on the screen? Okay, this is in Ohio, and this is during Obama's, this is when Obama was running for election. Okay, the presidential election. I'll tell you what, if you can kind of skip through that, maybe go 2 minutes into that and play from about two minutes from there and just, yeah, go ahead and play from there. There you go.
Calls, you knocked on doors. You brought your friends out tomorrow.
Anybody, I like early voting ballot. Early voting, so we can.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm okay.
What are you guys doing?
We are helping to arrange rides to get people to the polls who have transportation, need transportation to get there. So we're working with, people who live in the area, the campaign, and we have volunteers from the union, from the Service Employees International Union, and we're trying to connect all the dots. So come on over, Holden, I'll introduce you.
We have to have something to do.
Okay, so Tom, this is Holden. I don't think I'm saying that right. Okay. And he will work with you till the polls close to help people get connected. And we have the first
you get the idea, right? They're dragging all these Somalis into the voting places. Okay, that's that part of it. Now, let's toss Keith Ellison into the mix. Remember the Keith Ellison factor here, okay? The role that Keith Ellison played with Obama. You got to go back and you got to understand Ellison's congressional position and how, because today President Trump and the Republicans can barely get anything done, get anything through Congress, House or Senate. I mean, it's but back then there was cooperation, if not collusion. But let's go to video 4, and this will be video 4 in the show notes. So these are dated. This goes back to 2013-ish at the latest. Okay, now when I say they're dated, I mean they're old. They're not contemporary videos. But this is important because understand the thought process of Americans at that time. Many Americans, not you folks, but many Americans. And then I'm going to get into some information that you need to see. Okay. So let's go ahead and play cut four. This is, you know, the Black Hawk Down days are over. This is Keith Ellison. Listen to his words. And then this is a part of a thread, which I'll put the link up there. I'll put the link at HagmanPI.com under the show title. And you'll have to click on the show title to open up and you can get all the links. And please, you know, follow whoever posted this. Follow them, support them, whatever you need to do. But recognize the fact that these are their videos. But I was looking for specific videos from that time, from that era. And this is Ellison from that era. Because just so you know, too, if you haven't heard, if you've been living under a rock, you got Walz, you got Omar, and you have Ellison being, as well as a few other locals and such political operatives being, well, they were served with grand jury subpoenas, being subpoenaed by a grand jury. Related to the fraud. And I'm not sure if that's going to get into what happened. And I don't believe it will, but what happened with the church on Sunday. But certainly the fraud is going to, they're going to be subpoenaed to grand juries, which is different than what happened with Bill and Hillary, you know, Comer's subpoena for congressional testimony. And they said, nah, you know what? I'll tell you what. We're going to do it on our terms and here are our terms. And, you know, I'd look. Is that going to lead anywhere? Pfft, yeah. Are they going to get the Navarro treatment? No. Come on. You know what? If they're going to get the Navarro treatment, it's going to take a number of Gus guys to go out there and you know, break down their door at 5 o'clock in the morning, drag them out in their pajamas and take them to a federal courthouse, right? That's really, otherwise it ain't going to happen. If you think, you know, they're going to get the Navarro or Stone treatment or Bannon treatment, Nah, come on. Which is why, again, this moral turpitude, this evil is on both sides. And we better start recognizing that. It's on both sides. It's on the right. It's on the left. It is pervasive through every community, every town, every city, every state. It is just, I mean, you can smell the friggin' evil like burnt tires, like, you know, like Gwen Walz just inhaled deeply during the Floyd riots. These people are evil. But here's the magnitude of this evil. Cut four.
So, I want to talk to you a little bit about the trip, and I want to talk to you about some things that we need to do, God willing. We need everyone's help. We're not turning away any friends. We need all the friends we can get. But let me just say this. The most important thing for you to know about this, my trip to Mogadishu, is that the days of Black Hawk Down are over. Somalia is on the upswing. There are a number of reasons to be hopeful and optimistic about Somalia. They have a forward-thinking, progressive president. They have a parliament that is working hard to construct a system of laws for the Somali people. Time in 22 years, the United States government is so confident in this government in Somalia that we recognize this government. And 2 days after I left Mogadishu, Rod Shaw, who is the head of the United States Aid and International Development, landed in Mogadishu himself. Right?
Okay, you can cut that. So think about this. Think about the American servicemen. Think about the families of those men who died in Mogadishu. The wounds are not even healed at that time. And here comes Keith Ellison celebrating, you know, the regime change in Somalia, right? And folks, look, I'm not going to play any more of the, well, nah. I'm not going to play any more on that. Why? Because you can go there and you can drill down on these videos and you can look at how long this has been taking place and how long this has been going on. Now understand, you know, Ellison is from represented Minnesota. And then he, through his congressional seat, and then he moved to the attorney general position. And of course, they got him nailed for dealing with the food scandal were, I think, 97. And this might be, in fact, this would be necessary to play this particular clip. And this is clip two, Eric, the tech, to get this ready. There has been so much money that has been defrauded from the taxpayers of Minnesota. But please understand this. It is every state. It is every community. It is every place. Anywhere where there is a politician that's sucking air, and especially those, we know, with the D's after their name, this is happening. Not exclusive to the Democrats, but certainly they're the leaders in this. But here's the issue. They're looking at us and they're laughing. What are we going to do about it? Hell, I was ready to go to war yesterday. Oh, yeah. By the way, when you make fun of the Somali community, you get a lot of blowback. A lot. I was watching myself get doxxed, essentially, on... No, I'm not gonna give them air, okay? But on a forum. Oh yeah. Let me tell you, they're out looking for people like you and me, and you make fun of them or you call this out. Oh, they coming, or they think they're coming. And you know, we tend to diminish that or minimize that threat and say, yeah, they're a bunch of soy idiots, right? And I'm sure the majority are. But you might get a good one in there. And even if a soy, you know, or a mentally, look, they're all mentally disturbed, but they're pure evil. But then, again, I repeat myself. But to give you an idea of what's at stake here, here's cut two. Go ahead.
Ilhan Omar's net worth went up nearly $30 million. The question is how? Here's what we know. Omar's husband, a former political consultant, owns a venture capital firm based in Washington, D.C., and a winery in California. Take a look at these numbers. In 2023, Omar disclosed a maximum of $50,000 in assets at the winery. The next year, Dana, that number increased to $5 million. Meanwhile, her husband's company, Rose Lake Capital, reported a maximum of $1,000 in assets in 2023. The next year, it was $25 million. Despite that, Omar denied being a millionaire earlier this year, posting on X, quote, "I barely have thousands, let alone millions." House Oversight Committee Chairman James Comer tells Fox News an investigation is underway, writing, quote, "The committee is working on addressing ethics concerns regarding Representative Omar and her spouse, and we hope to have an update soon." But Omar says she's being targeted.
Ever since I've gotten to Congress, they have been doing these sort of weird ethics investigations. None of them have yielded anything because I have been as transparent as I can be.
Of course, others see it differently. Elon Musk says Omar committed fraud, while President Donald Trump posted on Truth Social, quote, "She should be in jail or even a worse punishment, sent back to Somalia." Omar authored the Meals Act in 2020, which loosened oversight on food programs during COVID. Federal prosecutors say one of those programs, Feeding Our Future, stole $250 million through fake meal sites. We did reach out to Omar as part of this story, but so far we have not heard back.
Dana. Okay, Nate Boy, thank you for that.
I also want to say this. I've been doing some research, and I posted this on X, but I want to write some reports for my Substack home. Okay. There is, in addition to the fraud that is that's being, that's obvious, okay, from the food programs to the, especially to the transportation programs, there are two other areas that no one really is talking about that's very concerning to me. Where there is this level of fraud, there is cartel activity. And where there is cartel activity in the interior of the U.S., there is protection. I promise you, I have found protection of cartel members in the United States by law enforcement, as well officers elected and also hired. You can understand that distinction. And also the local and state and yes, federal politicians skimming from the top from the drug cartels. Kind of like the way that mafia used to collect for protection. Same thing here with the cartel activity in the interior of the U.S. Can I prove that? Yeah, I think so. I think I can. And also, that's not being discussed. There's also, and this began based on our investigation and research, this began really big in a big way in 2020, 2021. Specifically, 2021 was like the real refined way. Child trafficking. I'm telling you right now, if you have the fraud and it's everywhere, you also have the drug mules and the drug traffic and the child trafficking. And you have the benefactors, the politicians, and then you have the protectors, the attorney generals, the judges, local and state law enforcement officers. This is bigger than just a few daycares. This is bigger than the daycares. It's huge. And this is why they look, it's bigger than the voting thing. Okay. But the voting, saturation, that's part of it. But the bigger part, the money end of things, I just mentioned. There's also a terrorism factor. And this is, I don't know, Omar again. This is Face the Nation. This is the last video here on the list, Eric the Tech. You got it? Okay. Watch this. We're going to play like a minute and a half of this. I want to show you something else, which is equally important, because I'm going to show you who's active in all of this in your backyard, mine, and name names. I'm going to show you I'm going to show you everything. But here's the last video. Go ahead.
And we're joined now by Minnesota Democratic Congresswoman Ilhan Omar. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Margaret.
We have a lot to get to with you, but I want to pick up on where the Treasury Secretary just left off. He alleged that people who were tied to you or your campaign were involved in this broad, brazen scheme to rip off the Minnesota state welfare system. Do you want to respond to that? Do you know what he is referring to?
I really don't, and I don't think the secretary himself understands what he's referring to. We obviously had people who were able to donate to our campaign that were involved. We sent that money back a couple years ago. And actually, I was one of the first members of Congress to send a letter to the Secretary of Ag asking them to look into what I thought was a reprehensible fraud that was occurring within the program.
So this was, just for our audience, the Biden-era Justice Department called it the largest COVID fraud scheme in the country. And this was pocketing COVID-era welfare funds, more than $1 billion in taxpayer money that was stolen. It was pretty, pretty shocking. Of the 87 people charged, all but 8 are of Somali descent. And that has added to the spotlight being put specifically on your community. Okay. Why do you think this fraud was allowed?
That number, and folks, you can watch again the entire clip. The link will be, the link will be under the program description box for this episode at HagmanPI.com. As I mentioned earlier, okay, this is focused on the Somali community. I want to touch on that. But before I do, I've had enough of Omar, and I'm sure you have too. I cannot stand her upward intonation, the way she speaks. I don't know if that's a cultural thing or if that's just English as a second language. I don't know what that's about, but I just can't stand that. But here's what I'd like y'all to do. If you are interested in body language analysis, if that interests you, I watch these clips over and over and over again. Yeah, sorry, but I mean, that's just a glutton for punishment, but that's what I do. And I noticed there were five factors or five cues, five deception indicators, five indicators of deception with Omar, present with Omar. There were four, and I'll put some other videos up here as well. Four with Keith Ellison. Actually, there were six at one point with Keith Ellison. If you look at some of the videos. And again, this is after establishing the baseline. You have to do that. But this is, so when they're making these denials, you can pick out specific denials that need to be investigated. Like the link to terrorism. There was a cluster of body language telltale signs, indicators. So I'd be interested to hear your thoughts on that. If you are so interested, look, you might say, well, that's just an exercise in futility, but a lot of people like myself, I'm interested in that. Having that forensic discipline and practice, and you look at it, because it does help folks. It does help you when you're dealing with, hey, you're dealing out with salespeople, you're dealing with the family members, friends, coworkers, bosses, employees, everybody. If you study enough and you're out and you practice this enough, you can actually pick these indicators up. It's not that hard. Blink rate, for example, when the blink rate increases, shoulder goes up maybe on a point. All of a sudden there are indicators, you know, illustrators, I should say, you know, moving, talk with their hands. All of a sudden they become like a T-Rex, you know. Tell you, it's worth watching. All right. With her, well, with the police chief of Minneapolis, and with specifically him, and also I saw this on the sheriff of Philadelphia. A lot of fading facts. That's just, you know, when they trail off at the end, they go quiet like this. Watch for that. Yeah. So there it is. All right. Now, the communist collaborators behind all this, if you can go to Defend 612, please. Folks, if you looked at my post, I put some of the logos of some of the main, I actually couldn't fit all of the organizations that I wanted to put on there. But Defend 612 in Minneapolis is a very big factor, a big organization. And there it is right there. About page for defending 612. Okay, about defend the 612. And 612 references the Minneapolis St. Paul or Minneapolis Greater Minneapolis area code. At least that's the origins or the intent. And you can read about this. I'll put the link in there. The website is defend612.com. And like I said, I'll put the link in there. And then you can go to the resources. The national guides and toolkits, for example, they publish their playbooks, you know, for the rapid response, their school patrol, their community defense. If you want to know how to defeat them, or if you want to know how to meet them on their own terms, and this is not just for Minneapolis or the 612 area code, they borrowed this. If you go back to Rose City Antifa and the Antifa groups, they are using the exact same playbook that they used back in the early 2000s. Occupy Wall Street, Occupy wherever, Chaz, Chop, you get, this is all part of the same playbook. All right. So, the local resources, the legal guides, the community response resources, the even how to start a sanctuary school, Oh, my goodness. But again, these are put out there by attorneys, by these anarchist attorneys, these lawyers, these leftists, these Norm Eisen kind of guys and women. The bleeding heart, septum deviated, septum pierced, tatted, blue-haired women. Liberal, lunatic females. I'm telling you. So that's one, but then let's expand. I just want to show you this one too. Let's go for this organization. One of the biggest organizations across the country is UNIDOS, UNIDOS. Now, UNIDOS Minnesota in particular, because we'll go there to that landing page. This is their website. And you can read all about, this is to me, in my professional opinion, this is nothing more than a communist organization, an organization of communists, that their intent, their objective is to change our country from a republic to a socialist or slash communist slash Muslim nation. But and you can read their story. I'll put the link with this group. I have UNIDOS slash MN as their homepage, and then their story page, of course, and then their partners page. I want to draw your attention to their partners page. That link is, I put it as a separate link, but you can go up to the top and or however. But I want to show you the partners here, because you better know how vast, how big this is. This is beyond anything that has been described, even on Fox News, or even, I mean, very few have described the breadth of this and the depth of this. Now, some of the usual suspects appear nationally, you know, SEIU, Citizens League, and so on. But look at that list of their partners. League of Women Voters, big surprise there, right? La Raza. And if you take a look at all of their partners and you overlay that with the financials for the campaigns of the Democratic Socialists of America, you will find a lot of crossover. So this is the magnitude. I put that up there to show you the magnitude of the problem. Are these all of them? No. I mean, in this case, the partners, yes. But you're going to find a lot of cross-pollination among the communist front groups, the NGOs. This was probably one of the more comprehensive pages for partners, one of the more comprehensive lists. And this had more organizations that do appear on some of the DSA, Democratic Socialists of America, candidates, as well as people in office, squad members included, so that aren't listed on various financials, like financials. Okay, so pay attention to that list in particular. All right. I'm going to get back to the church very quickly because I kind of skimmed over this and I don't want to not address this. People, apparently, this is, and you can take that down. Apparently, the Justice Department is considering charging Lemon and Company, the invaders of that church, under the FACE Act, as well as the KKK Act, but specifically the FACE Act. And I don't like that idea. First of all, I think the FACE Act is a bad law. And I just want to toss this out to you because you're going to be hearing about this on the news. I don't know how many people know what the FACE Act is, but it's the Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrances Act. Now, this was passed in 1994. It was signed into law in 1994. And this was an act that was created It's a federal law. It's actually, it was codified at 18 U.S.C. Section 248, which is the criminal U.S. U.S. code. But it's actually the criminal side of things, this FACE Act. It's a federal law that prohibits the use of force, threats, or threats of force, or physical obstruction to intentionally injure, intimidate, or interfere with people obtaining or providing reproductive health services, including abortion, they add, right? Now, hang on. You say, well, how could that be used in this case? There's another line in there. It also prohibits similar actions against those exercising religious freedom at places of worship and bans intentional damage or destruction of such facilities or places of religious worship. They threw that in there as an afterthought to kind of make it more palatable, I think, for back in 1994 for the so-called conservatives, you know, in Congress to pass this. And the background to this, you recall that back in the 80s and 90s, a lot of pro-life people were praying outside of these charnel houses, right? And then you had the, I think in 1990, it was 1993 or 92 or 93, the murder of an abortion doctor, David Gunn in Florida. And a couple of other incidents like that. So they had to, they of course passed this. The bill originated from all of these actions back in the early 90s. Now, Chuck Schumer was behind the House version from New York, of course, Democrat from New York. And Morella was behind the, was a co-sponsor as well from Maryland. Okay. So in the Senate, Senator Ted Kennedy introduced Senate Bill 636 on March 23rd, 1993. So all of these people had their hands in this. And ultimately, Bill Clinton signed this into law on May 26, 1994 as Public Law 103-259. And so they're using this, the current DOJ. And again, President Trump, if you remember his first few days in office, along with the J6ers, he also pardoned the grandmothers that were thrown in jail under the FACE Act. So this law, to me, is a bad law. It can be, it can be and has been a weapon of the judiciary. Folks, please, when you hear things, and look, I have a tendency to like cheer things on. Yeah, let's do, say, okay, I agree. We have to do something, but understand, in this case, if you have a bad law and you use a bad law to prosecute, I understand it's going to come back and bite you in the backside. But I guess, hey, if the left weaponized it, we can weaponize it as well, right? Or charge them under a different statute, because there are plenty to charge with to charge under. But I just want to bring that out, because that's a big thing right now with the Department of Justice. You're going to be hearing about this. Well, we're in charge of the FACE Act. We're in charge of the KKK Act. Look, the FACE Act, bad to me, bad law, bad law. Don't like that law at all, because it can be abused and it has been abused. All right. Now, with respect to the immigration, just so you know, the numbers and the kind of the, how this all came about, just very quickly, you got to go back again to the 1990s, the Bush senior, Bush elder time. Or you can even go back to the 20s, 1920s, if you want, from British Somaliland, you know, coming to New York and Baltimore, especially on the East Coast, obviously, and people working within the maritime industries. So there was kind of a bit, you know, this flow into the country. But the real major wave occurred in the 1990s. The large scale invasion or invitation began in the early 90s. And this was after, again, think Black Hawk Down. This was after the Somali Civil War back in 91, led to the collapse of the government under Syed Barr. Now, if that name rings a bell, Syed Barr, guess whose family, especially the father, worked for Syed Barr? That's right, Ilhan Omar. Just so you know. So, but we started bringing those people in the early 90s. Bottom line is this. We have right now, and I'm going to end with this. We have right now approximately 107,000 people from Somalia living in Minnesota right now, the majority of them in the Twin Cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul. 107,000. And that's what we know of. Think about that number. That's a lot. Do you think the removal and the revocation of the temporary protected status and the removal of the illegals, think that'll make a difference? I think so. It's going to be disruptive in terms of the monetary flow to political leaders. It's going to be disruptive to the protection rackets, as well as going to be disruptive to the flow of drugs and human trafficking in that well, all across the U.S., but specifically in that area. And also the money that's going in suitcases and luggage, as you know, just immense, an immense amount of money, just a tremendous amount of money. During the Biden regime, you're talking millions per week out of Minneapolis alone in suitcases, cash. Millions, according to a TSA, according to TSA sources. Disrupt that. Now you're talking some heavy money, a lot of money. And of course, a lot of that money is supporting Al Shabaab, the terrorist organization. So there you have it. That's the magnitude of the problem that's behind it. That is the blanket of moral turpitude I was referencing. And of course, these are the people behind it. I showed you the organizations behind it. For more information, just go to the show notes today, HagmanPI.com, and click on the links if you want more information. But better yet, just keep tuned in, as well as follow. Soon I'm going to be putting some investigative reports on Substack. All right. Now, I've been getting reports about people sick with this respiratory virus. I know a couple of people sick, can't get rid of the cough and can't get rid of, what the heck is out there? What was unleashed on human, what was unleashed upon us where everyone seems to be sick and not getting better with upper respiratory viruses? How many people, and I'm just kind of looking, you know of anyone or you yourself suffering from this? What's going on? And I asked Dr. Mishima Williams to come on. Beingfunctional.com is her website. The link, and folks, you've got to, man, I'm going to tell you something. They have the best, I'm going to tell you, this doctor knows what she's talking about. Go to beingfunctional.com, peruse. And if you, for extra credit, if you really want to feel good, set up an appointment, but understand, you have to wanna. You gotta wanna, right? Her website's on the screen. Without further ado, Dr. Mishima Williams. Dr. Williams, thanks for joining me. And I appreciate your staying up so late, and I appreciate your time.
Oh, my pleasure. I actually just finished working out, so I am fresh and ready to go.
Working out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I had a late day today with patients, so I had to work out a little bit later than normal. But yeah, and I love that we are talking about viruses right now. And I was bragging about how everyone around me is sick, but I'm not sick. But I do feel like I might be coming down with a little something. I feel like I already got it, and I'm already getting over it, which is pretty typical for my immune system. And I'm going to share all of my secrets with everyone today. So I just hardly ever, I can't even remember the last time I was, you know, quote, down or had to miss work or not see patients or whatever. And, you know, we see a lot of influenza in person. We see a lot of adenoviruses and all these COVID cases and SARS and all the stuff, RSV is really peaking. So we see a lot of it, and I love not getting it.
Yeah, I'm in favor of that as well. I spent the weekend with with my grandchildren, actually, and one on Monday I got a call. Hey, you know, he's sick and he's got a fever. And of course, Sunday he had a cough. So, I mean, I was like all around it. And I got to tell you, I'm feeling pretty good. But
knock on wood. Yeah, for sure. So. And you're definitely, you know, if you're doing everything I've asked you to do, your immune system is definitely ready for the attack. And so that's the whole purpose, is to change the terrain in your body.
And that's the thing, too. You know, folks, again, you got to want to, you know, that's my thing. You have to want to change, and you gotta listen to somebody who knows. You gotta, for example, follow the instructions, which I hate. I am the worst patient, and you can ask Dr. Williams. I am the worst patient on the planet. Okay. Believe me, but if you want to, you can get better. So go ahead, doctor. I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
Yeah, no. And by the way, thank you for having me here today, because I do think it's important and I love sharing all of this knowledge. And, you know, it's sad that my patients are the ones who, and, you know, other functional medicine doctors, of course, not the only genius out there who can figure out how to boost and support your own immune system to be ready. So I always like to think of it as changing the terrain in your body to be able to accept these viruses and then kill them right away, right? It's not a matter of not being exposed. It's a matter of what happens when you are exposed. And it's also a matter of decreasing your likelihood of getting exposed. For example, the last time I really remember being sick was when my kids, who are in their 20s now, when my kids were, you know, in kindergarten and pre-K, and they would come home sick and get something from the preschool. So I started having them. And so then, of course, we would get it because we would be hugging them and holding them and staying up late with them and whatever. But what we started doing is the minute they would walk in the door, and I had two girls, so we would put their hair back, make sure their hair was back, because you collect a lot of virus on your hair, your clothes, your face, your hands. And so we did a couple things. We just started having them change their clothes, wash their face, put their hair back right away. So that decreased the amount of viral load that we were putting into our house. Plus, I ventilated the home every day in the winter. Viruses are more common in the winter. They thrive in the winter. They actually have a half-life that is, you know, like almost 27 hours compared to in the summer when they evaporate more quickly. It's only a couple hours. So we have to know that, and we have to know that this is what we need to do. So proper ventilation, opening up windows, even though it's cold, but just to decrease the viral load in your own house. And you know, that really worked. We stopped getting these common colds in our house as frequently. And certainly when we did, our bodies were ready for them.
Wow.
Yeah.
So my wife does that. She ventilates the home. She ventilates the house. Okay.
Yeah.
But also the filters in the furnace, the higher grade filters, they seem to make a difference, right? I mean, do they or no?
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. And some people even use ultraviolet light by the air that, yeah. And so those should be killing a lot of the microorganisms that exist, but nothing beats fresh air. Just
open
windows and let that cold air come in for a few minutes and until the kind of that stagnating air goes away. You know, also with little children, what I did with my kids, I do have to touch my face there. You know, we touch our face 23 times a minute. And so that's one thing that I actually, and 40 to 50% of the time it's in the T zone, which is where you have a substantial increase in infections if you're touching your mouth and your nose and things like that, especially if you're touching doorknobs and you're not touching in your, and then you're not washing your hands right away. But we did this test when the girls were little, and I had them stick their hand in flour, and then I had them just touch whatever they would normally touch. Doorknobs, the kitchen refrigerator, the counters. And after 5 minutes, I said, let's look and see if you had coughed into your hand, let's look and see where this virus is at now. And this is why you have to wash your hands all the time. And you also have to make sure that you don't touch your face. So I have my little kiddos, my patients actually wear a little bracelet as a reminder to not touch their face, because it's just habit. And we just do it all the time, especially if you're not washing your hands or you're not in a place where you can wash your hands. Like, for example, when I came back from the gym, I have to have a conscious effort to not touch anything until I get home and have a chance to shower, because who knows what's on the barbells and all that stuff, you know?
Oh, man. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Even, yes, I'll just leave that alone. Trust me, folks. Yeah. 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 I don't do weights, but I can tell you this, even if you're on a treadmill. Okay. All right.
Yeah. So, and always, yeah, if you're like on a treadmill, that's easy to wash down really quick. They've got really good, you know, alcohol wipes and other wipes that are, you know, near the equipment, but mm-hmm. it's hard to wipe every single barbell and touch every single door and, you know, all this sort of stuff. So you just assume that you're dirty until you prove otherwise. And the only way that you know you're not is just wash your hands. And then you're not.
Okay, now forgive me, and please, you can tell me to shut up anytime. But are viruses airborne? I mean, because you're talking about touching surfaces.
Yeah,
I understand that. Okay, somebody, you know, hawks a loogie and under the barbell thing, and you touch it, it ain't good. Or you know, somebody's got. I get the contact stuff, but are viruses airborne? I mean,
yeah. Okay, the majority of them are. So when you're coughing, yeah, I mean, when you're coughing in the air and you're not properly covering your mouth, which, by the way, just in case your listeners don't know, should be your elbow, because you're not opening doors with your elbow. So you should move your elbow up and cough into your elbow. And that will significantly reduce exposure to other people. Obviously, you already have it. And so definitely, you know, and just think of all, you know, not only are viruses more prevalent in the winter, but think of all the holidays, all the travel, all the stress, all the cooking, having people over, or you going somewhere, being stuck in a car for a long period of time with a lot of people. A lot of times it's crowded, trains, planes, all those things. And you finally have this, what we call holiday fatigue, and your immune system is just run down. So we start to see a spike in influenza cases mid-December, which we did again this year, mid-December through January. And we are actually now finally starting to see a decrease, de-escalation of the influenza. We could see another spike in February. So we're just going to hold off and see and watch and see what happens. But there's definitely, the bottom line is there's so much you can do. And that's what I'm here to share with everyone. Just common sense things like washing your hands, count to 20 when you wash your hands, make sure you're using good soap that actually has antimicrobial properties. And do the flour test at home if you have little kiddos. Wash your kiddos, change their clothes when they get home, because that's those are the vectors that are bringing in the virus into your home most commonly. Learn and be intentional about not touching your face. All these things are really important to decrease your viral infection rates in your own body. And of course, we have a course online that's called Feel Good Gut Health. And in that course, we talk about nutrition and diet and all this stuff. But one of the key things we talk about in that course is your number one line of defense is your mucosal tissue. And that includes everything, you know, all the mucosal tissue in the nose, the mouth, the esophagus, but also all the way down your gut. And I have found over 15, 16 years of treating patients from a functional medicine perspective that we have significantly reduced upper respiratory infections just simply by healing the gut lining.
I'm going to tell you, that's a game changer. Folks, by the way, the website, and I'll put it in the chat, beingfunctional.com. I got that right, Doc, right? Didn't I?
Yeah, you did. Yes, you did.
Okay, because I have it bookmarked and you know how I am, right? So, okay. All right. All right. So, but I'll put it in the chat, folks. Okay. Yes, I'm sorry. I wash or, you know, take a, What do you call those things? Sanitizing wipes? What are those things called?
Yeah, sanitizing wipes.
Okay. Yeah. Those work, right? Because you go to the grocery store, because now they have them, you know, but wipe the handle down and stuff. Yep. Right?
So, okay. That's right. Yeah. Absolutely. Right.
Okay.
Now, I think you had an aha moment there for a second when we talked about gut health.
Listen, folks, let me tell you something. I guarantee you, you get this right, you get this right, you're gonna thank me. Well, actually, you're gonna thank Dr. Williams, but you're gonna thank me so much. You get this right, I promise your life is gonna change for the better. Mm. But please go ahead, because you know, when I first heard this, I thought, oh, come on, you know. After we spoke, doctor, I was telling my wife, I said, hey, you know, come on, man. But, ooh.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I still have aha moments when I started taking the collagen powder that we sell for hair. It's, you know, everyone knows the collagen powders for hair, skin, and nails. Our collagen powder has an extra punch in it because it's got the most important amino acid in its metabolized form already. So super easy for building muscle. So I actually started taking this collagen on a regular basis. It's delicious. It's great. I promote it all the time. I have a lot of my patients on it, but for the first time I was consistently taking it for 3 months. And what shocked me, Doug, is that my hair started growing back like it did before menopause, which was shocking to me. And what that really tells me is, and I also, by the way, gained 6 pounds of muscle, and I was intense. I was also doing a workout training program. So that was intentional. And that's what I was using to support my muscle building. But what shocked me is, and I didn't even think twice about the hair, skin, and nails, because honestly, I wasn't that upset about my hair. And it was never going to, you know, I just had accepted the fact it's never going to be like it was before menopause. That's fine. But you know, what was really interesting is my hair started growing back. And what that really told me is, one, I'm absorbing these nutrients through the gut, but two, it's also going to where it needs to go to work, which also tells me that the cells are working better. And that was mind-blowing to me, because one of the most important things about collagen is supporting the extracellular space around the cells so that the cells themselves work better. Because if they're not supported, it doesn't work as well. So that extracellular space that is between cells is where you really, when you're thinking about cellular function and you don't care about hair, skin, and nails, obviously I'm not upset about the hair, skin, and nails, but when you're thinking about cellular function, that's so mind-blowing to me, because I have proof externally that also it is working internally. And then I also have the increase in muscle mass. So, you know, these things are really important that you can't just ignore them. And so you really want to be that gut health is so important. But the reason why the gut health is so important in viruses are concerned is because if you have a nice thick mucosal barrier and your immunoglobulin A is ready, then you're not going to be potentially absorbing all of those viruses. Your viral load will not be as high. If you can decrease viral load and you can quickly put out the fire in terms of killing the virus immediately before it has a chance to really replicate, that's where the biggest change I see happening in terms of people living. And you know those patients that I used to get that used to tell me, hey doc, every October or November I get a sinus infection. And I'm like, well, this year you're not going to get it, because we're going to prevent that virus that caused the sinus infection or the chronic allergies, and then we're going to get your body ready to, you know, do battle with this virus. So we don't prescribe antibiotics hardly ever. I think your mic is off.
I dropped my pen, so I had to crawl underneath to get it, and I didn't want the noise or the video. Yeah. But anyway, so now it's back on. Okay, so if you have kids or if you are somebody who's taking antibiotics, man, don't do that. I mean, or do it only when it's absolutely necessary. The gut health, that was a life changer for me. And I'm not making, because obviously, you know, back in last April, all of a sudden, you know, I got this pain in my upper right quadrant. I'm thinking, it's just an ulcer. And then all of a sudden I can't even, you know, it's like, okay, who shot me? And I waited 3 days and, you know, I had 104 and a half fever, and doctor says, yeah, you know, you might want to get in the ER. And when I went in, they said, yeah, you know, you probably wouldn't have been around tomorrow, had you? But anyway, after that, I had like a lot of issues systemically.
Yeah.
Then this, then Dr. Williams. So what's it called? The product name? There's two that I know of.
Yeah. The collagen, we only have one collagen because there's only one collagen I like. So it is the Fitlene collagen on our website, myvitamin.com.
Myvitamin.com. Okay.
Yeah, myvitamin.com. And it's not my vitamins, no S. So myvitamin.com, the collagen powder is amazing. And you know, it's expensive because of that extra protein they put in it.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, because that protein actually turns, I mean, that's the protein you need if you're interested in muscle building, and who isn't, especially when we're older. So I have a lot of my older patients on this, as well as, you know, working on their balance and strength and things like that. But I just have them use half a scoop every day instead of a whole scoop. And that's what I did. I didn't want to use a whole scoop and go through two of those every month. So one of those every month. And then the other very, very important powder, if you're worried about gut health, and if you feel like you have something called leaky gut, which when you have leaky gut, you have a tight junction barrier dysfunction. So you're letting all sorts of things go through, undigested food, viruses, pesticides, all sorts of things. One of the key supplements that we use, we have a gut bundle, but we also have something called L-glutamine powder. And that is just one little scoop every day, every morning on an empty stomach. I just do a little L-glutamine. I squeeze a little lemon in that water, mix it up. It mixes up really, really well. And you just down it. And then you go about your business for the rest of the morning. And then, you know, eventually you can have your coffee and whatever else you want. I try to have it on an empty stomach and just wait 30 minutes before I eat or drink anything else. It's okay if you want to drink coffee right away. We just don't want to put food in your stomach and have that interfere with its gut healing ability. And that is probably what you're talking about in terms of sort of having a big impact.
Okay. SBI. Forgive me.
Yeah.
SBI. Is that factor into this, or SBI?
SBI is only a professional grade. So I would actually have to see you for that one. So that's a very good one too. And that one is usually used temporarily, but because it binds so much, we worry about it overdoing it. So we really have to be careful with that one.
Okay. Well, people say you're full of it, man. No wonder. Okay.
I will say, Doug, the majority of people don't need that one, which is also why we don't put that in the bundle pack or anything else. Plus, it would be wrong to use something like that without actually, you know, looking at the patient from a functional medicine perspective.
And folks, let me tell you something. You want to change your life. I'm telling you, if you want to change your life, and if you have issues, health issues, and you're seeing a PCP, and maybe you're just not feeling great, contact, are you seeing patients, new patients? I mean, I would tell everyone to see you because you're fantastic.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
And your office is great too. Oh man.
Yeah. We have people who love what they're doing working in our office, but we are a virtual practice only. We are a bridge to your regular doctor and those who want alternative therapy. And we only see patients in California, Missouri, and Florida. So that is part of the issue, obviously. So that is actually why we created Feel Good Gut Health. So you can actually go to feelgoodguthealth.com. And basically, as you know, Doug, when we change our diet and we start to heal our gut, all of a sudden, all these things that we've been complaining about go away. And in that gut course, we actually explain why. We actually go into the pathophysiology of that so that you understand better why your joint pains stop hurting when you give up, say, for example, gluten. And then how do you reintroduce gluten back into your diet to see and make sure that that was really the culprit? And how do you clean your diet in general so that 80 to 90% of the time you're eating an anti-inflammatory diet? How much protein do you need? How much What's a good fat? How much fat do I need every day? So we actually have, we're in the middle of an event right now where on Fridays, I actually do a, you know, anyone who joins every 6 weeks, we do a whole new event, and where we have a private Facebook group where we actually talk to people. People have access to me. We have open Q&As, and I also have some other additional things to present when we are meeting on Fridays. But this is an indirect way of getting access to our practice if you don't live in those states. And also, I'll tell you what, one of the biggest reasons we created this course is because what we found is when we cleaned up the diet and helped heal the gut, we had about 80% resolution of patients' complaints. So we might not get to 100%, you know, and definitely then you'd have to work with a functional medicine doctor, blah, blah, blah. But the bottom line is that we have significant success with just the healing the gut and changing someone's diet and really educating them on the proper way of doing all of this. So we price it to where anyone can afford it. And, you know, it's just one of those really good things to really consider if you're serious. It's well worth it.
Yes, yeah. If you're serious. And folks listening and watching this in chat, you can respond to give you an idea of the difference that this can make, okay? Think about, have you seen on Netflix, I think somebody had posted this in the chat, the series 11/22/63. It's from a Stephen King novel, whatever, but it's a big thing on Netflix, right? So I binge watched it. Okay, I had to, because I don't know. But here's how it relates to what Dr. Williams is talking about. Like right at the beginning, in the first part, when this man went back in time from 2016 to 1960, I think it was. He was sitting in a diner eating food, in particular apple pie. You know, not the, but he said, "Wow, this tastes different. Tastes better than best apple pie I've ever had." Think about the food back then versus now. So pay attention to this, which is why the link will be. And thank you, Hope, Faith, Love, Truth. Thank you for putting feelgoodguthealth.com in there as well. So folks, please follow the links and look. You'll thank yourself for getting on board. Go ahead, Doctor.
Yeah. No, yeah. And you know, one of the first things I asked you, Doug, when you wanted to work with me is, what is your why? And if you don't have a why and you don't really want it for yourself, then you're not ready to commit to making these changes. And that's okay. We have a very huge wait list for our patients. Of course, a lot of functional medicine doctors do. We're not unique in that way. But we screen our patients because we don't want this more for you than you want it for yourself. And you had a great why. And that is why we said, okay, let's go, you know, and you've done everything, almost everything I've asked you to do. And, you know, I think your wife has been really helpful, especially with the nutrition and diet. And so we want to cultivate that support around us. I think that's really important. A lot of the people that take Feel Good Gut Health will do it together. Like I have a couple daughters and moms doing it together this time around. We have a husband and wife doing it this time around. So there's definitely that community involvement that we want to cultivate because it's kind of nice to see what other people do, how they are successful. This week on Friday, we're going to talk about all of my prepping secrets, for example, like everything I do to prep so I can be and have a successful week. These are things that are so just normal to me now. 15 years ago, they weren't normal. I had to develop a system. And so we're trying to fast track so people don't have to suffer through all the things I had to go through. And we're giving you literally all of the things I've learned along the way. But mostly, we're trying to help you create and work on your own goals. And when you, it's bad when you don't have a goal, right? Because if you don't have a goal, you don't even have anything to strategize with. But also bad is when you have a goal and it's just a goal. You have no systems approach to reaching the ultimate pinnacle of that goal, which is that success point. So what we try to cultivate is what you're capable of. We're all unique. Some of us can go all the way. I have a electrical engineer that I, you know, just interviewed recently and accepted him as a patient. And I know he will do everything I ask him to do. But then we also have, you know, some other people that can't. I have a 77-year-old right now that gets overwhelmed if I give her more than three things at a time. And that's okay. We'll work with these people. But the point is you have to have a reason for getting started, and you have to have a goal, and then you have to have a strategy, and you have to have a systems approach that's doable, almost fail-proof. And what we talk about is, what that is motivation gets you started, but momentum keeps you going. And you have to remember that motivation, like, for example, I want to lose 10 pounds and I'm going to start a diet tomorrow. That will only last generally 3 days. Yeah. But if I have a systems approach to that weight loss and I start winning on these little tiny things, then that momentum keeps me going.
Yeah. And that's very important to, you know, you mentioned about being overwhelmed. Okay. Look, I felt that way because I felt like I was a professional patient. That's all I did. But, and you were very kind. Now, on the other hand, my wife held me at gunpoint a few times. There was some police activity. I can't tell you about the SWAT team, but nonetheless, look, you can do this, folks. But see, it all comes back to, I mean, look, we're fighting some mutant viruses, I think. And if, plus the food that we get, come on, you know, forget about it, right? The food, it's just, it's garbage. And boy, you can change that. And you know what? It's less expensive to me. Well, in our case, it's less expensive with the better food than we were eating before. Go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's another thing we talk about, of course, is preparing your kitchen and prepping your food. And all of a sudden you're eating more at home and you're spending a lot less money on last minute, high fat, bad fat for you foods that really deplete you of your energy. You know, I've been up since 4:30 today and my brain is working just as good as now that it was, as it was when I first got up this morning. And I had quite a busy day today. And so, this is my third podcast today, for example. So definitely and patience and all this sort of stuff. But I absolutely love sharing all of this because of all the feedback I get, Doug, in terms of just little things that are life-changing. Like, for example, since we're really focusing on these viruses right now, one of the key things I tell my patients to do during flu and virus season time. Now, whether or not they get the vaccine, that's up to them and the research they've done. But for me, what I personally do is I really prepare my immune system for war during the winter months. So starting in October, I start taking a supplement that's found in our immune pack. So we have a daily immune pack that you can purchase. It looks like this on myvitamin.com. It comes in a cute little box and it has the most important things that I have found that have supported my patient's immune system over the years. And one of the most important things that you can take is a supplement called NAC or N-acetylcysteine. This is the same supplement that during COVID in 2020 and 2021, the government actually took it off the market because everyone started purchasing it and we were running out in our supplement stores. And so they required a doctor's prescription for about 3 months. It is that effective. Everyone figured it out. All my patients were already on it, but everyone figured it out for themselves. And, you know, do you know much about NAC?
You know, I have done so much research. Okay. You would be proud of me. Last time we spoke, I asked you some questions and you answered them about some other things, based on research I conducted. So now I really have been researching these supplements. But folks, let me tell you something, a couple of things. It's important to know which supplements, number one, to take. And it's important to know why you are taking them. But it's also important to know that there's different types of different quality supplements. And if you do your research, you're going to find some very interesting stuff out there. That's all I'm going to tell you. So,
you know, there was,
please explain.
Yeah. In my medical journal this month, in one of my medical journals, there's a supplement, and I'm not going to name it, but there's a supplement that was taken off the market, 580,000 bottles of it. And it's not one that I had ever heard of, so it's not a common one, thank goodness. But what the supplement claimed is anti-inflammatory properties. But what they found is that the supplement was contaminated with meloxicam, which is an anti-inflammatory, and in some cases associated with cardiovascular disease and GI issues, ulcers, things like that. So they actually, the company actually took it off the market. But why would you do that? Why would you contaminate your supplement with an anti-inflammatory, promote it as an anti-inflammatory? Of course it's going to work because it's got a prescription drug in it. And people become addicted to it. And not only that, but, you know, when you look at study after study of the contamination of these supplements, so just so you know, our supplements are first and third party checked. We have a certificate of analysis on every single batch so that we know that we're gluten-free, dairy-free. What's in it is really what's in it and not anything extra that shouldn't be, and then not a little bit of what we promise. So if anything, we over deliver under promise, but purity is super important and absorbability is super important. If you can't absorb it, if you're just pooping it out, it's not getting to the cells to work. So those two factors, the purity and absorbability and its absorbability, and then also it being bioavailable to the cells, very, very important when you're choosing supplements. And so, and the other thing is, what, you know, you can read so much about what supplements to take, and the next thing you know, you're taking 30 supplements a day because you hear this is good for this and this is good for that. And I've really tried to narrow it down because I'm not a big pill taker. But NAC, do you know there was a study done on nursing home patients, average age of 84, taking NAC, which is just an amino acid, N-acetylcysteine. It's the rate limiting step to making your body's number one most powerful antioxidant called glutathione. Very important for liver detox, decreasing oxidative load, actually supporting your immune system. We took these people who were average age of 84. And as you know, when you're older, your immune system, you have something called immune energy, which is where your immune system is very sluggish. And we started giving them NAC, and we had a 30% reduction in pneumonias in our highest risk population. And after 6 months, we had a shift from a immune system function from going from energy to what we call normergy immune system, which is a normal functioning nervous system, immune system, which is what we want. And so this is really important. This is not like, this is my opinion. This is actual information that we have documented in study after study. So NAC, definitely in my immune pack. Also, you know, it modulates the immune system, T cell mediated function, actually improves white blood cell production, so many things. And not to mention, if you have a cold and you have that sticky, thick mucus, which will then turn into a sinus infection, NAC is a natural mucus breaker upper. So for a lot of reasons. Yeah. So for a lot of reasons, NAC, super important. That's why it's in our immune pack.
And off script, if I can ask, and I have to say, NAC during the height of COVID, folks, you might remember that being introduced or that being discussed. Look, it does. I'm telling you, okay, NAC is important. But let me ask you about things like ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine off script here just momentarily. For example, if somebody do you recommend taking things like that as a preventative as well as maybe to treat something? What do you think?
My number one thing, and this is what we're talking about today, is to create a terrain in your body that is ready for the viruses. It's kind of like having your army ready for when an attack comes, and then there should be very little harm. So therefore, in theory, you should not need to get the ivermectin and be taking that on a regular basis. However, if you do take it, and this is what I advise my patients, there's natural forms of ivermectin. My favorite one is a higher dose quercetin combined with two other things, zinc and vitamin C. And the vitamin C has, of course, the beautiful antioxidant properties. It's studies show it decreases severity and duration of your virus. So really helps with your immune system, sort of supporting your immune system in that way. But when we use vitamin C along with quercetin, then the zinc, which has very strong antiviral properties, in other words, it actually kills the virus, can get to where the virus is hiding. The virus likes to hide inside of cells and replicate. That's when you want to attack. And that's where, if you, over the winter months, if you take a little bit of quercetin and a little bit of zinc, you know, you want to watch how much you take, which is why we made the med pack, then you have a golden opportunity to be ready for that virus 24/7. Now, if you want to take ivermectin, I think it's good to have, or hydroxychloroquine, as long as you clear that with your doctor, make sure you're not on any other medications that can interfere with those drugs. But yeah, definitely, I wrote several scripts of, you know, on a regular basis, but I have found, Doug, I don't need to. That's the key.
Man, I'll tell you what, that's the thing, folks. Get yourself, you know, get your army ready. I'm telling you, it's a lot easier. It's kind of like, be prepared for it. It's a heck of a lot easier than trying to catch up. Okay, yeah. Which never works. So, yeah. Of course, beingfunctional.com is the website, but the supplements, the vitamin supplements, and the food, okay, the program for the food, I'll put all of that, the links at HagmanPI.com underneath the title for today's show. But I also believe we have a permanent link on the website. If we don't, there certainly will be. For some reason that my mind just went blank. But thank you for that. Again, beingfunctional.com and also, the other websites, which I, myvitamin.com, right?
That's, yes,
I got that. Yeah. All right.
And feelgoodguthealth.com.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. Yeah. I just had so much go in my mind. It was just racing because there's so much I wanted to ask you. And I did get a, at the end, when you're done, I do have a question about something totally different. It's an audience, somebody from the audience who knows that you were coming, knew you were coming on. I don't want to blindside you with the question.
Oh, no, that's fine.
But it was late. So when you're all done, and it has to do with, ADHD or AD, no, AD, what is that? ADD or
ADD or
hyper kids, hyper kids. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, the supplements for hyper kids. So I'll put that aside. When we're done, we'll address that. So yeah. Sarah, I'll get to you on that. Okay. Go ahead. Continue with what.
What I really wanted to say is there's just a couple other important supplements that I think are worth mentioning just for completeness sake. And one of them is vitamin D. And the reason why I really wanted to mention vitamin D is, as you know, Tina's my sister, right?
Yes.
A lot of people know Tina. And I remember about 15 years ago doing her blood work for the first time. And I'm like, Tina, your vitamin D level is like a 3, which is extremely low, which I have not found another 3 yet since her. So she wins the cake on that one. But you know, it turns out, so we started supplementing her with vitamin D. Her vitamin D now is anywhere between 15 and 70, which is great. And she tells everyone this story because she is so thankful that we checked her levels back then, because now we know that low vitamin D levels are linked to a significant worse outcome with COVID severity and hospitalization. In fact, there was a study that was done on over 10,000 people that showed vitamin D, actually normal levels of vitamin D in the level of 50 to 70, decrease the risk of upper respiratory infections, and it affects your immune system in a really good way. So there's a large body of research that supports normal vitamin D levels. So if you're not doing vitamin D and it's winter when the sun goes, you know, you're not getting as much vitamin D conversion in your body because lack of sunlight, no one wants to be outside. Just another reason why we get all these viruses. But low vitamin D levels, if you don't know what your vitamin D level is, I would very much ask that you at least get that done, right? That's a blood test. Your doctor can do it. And it's pretty affordable if you, you know, and correct your vitamin D level. You don't want to overcorrect because if you, some people are like, well, if a little bit is good, a lot is better. And then they get levels that are over 150. And now we're dealing with bone loss and things like that. So we want to be picky about how much or, you know, what we use, but definitely something important to consider as well.
And, you know, doctor, in my personal research, which I've done entirely too much of, okay, but having said that, I found, and tell me if this is true, that sometimes if you're taking different supplements, they can work against each other and the time of day they should take them. Obviously, yeah. You know, some of it's common sense, folks. You know, take B12 at night or whatever. But you want to kind of be advised. You could be having them work against one another. Plus, like you said, right. Creating very expensive waste products, unnecessarily, but.
That's right.
Go ahead.
Yeah, we have morning packs and evening packs, and we split things up for that reason. So we try to work with what works synergistically together, what stimulates your brain and keeps you awake. You know, obviously, we're going to put that in a morning pack, and then what helps you fall asleep. We actually have a magnesium. Our best seller is our magnesium, and it is a, you know, it's one that you take at nighttime because it really helps calm your brain. And what our patients say, and the reason they love it, is one, minimal gut side effects, so you're not having the diarrhea and the cramping and all that. But two, the other big thing is it shuts their brain off so that they can go to sleep. And so it significantly improves and supports sleep quality for a lot of our patients. So that's our number one bestseller on myvitamin.com for that reason. But you want to know when to take it, right? And so we kind of take the guesswork out of the whole thing. So all of our med packs actually have this magnesium in it. So a lot of our patients in the winter will switch from a foundational pack, which is just their basic omega-3 and K2 D3 multivitamin. They'll switch from that to an immune foundational. So they'll get all the immune support plus the foundational things. That's actually the best thing to do, is to use the immune foundational daily, or just the immune if you already have your own supplement regimen. So we put all this stuff in there to really help support a strong immune system. And the goal is to have it on board before you get sick. But we would not be complete if we didn't talk about some key lifestyle changes that I really think are important to discuss. And you talked about the nutrition being depleted of its nutrients compared to 1960s. And that is actually really true. I've done so many labs on so many patients. I actually stopped doing micronutrient testing. For the most part, there are some patients that want it done. I will do it for them. But for the most part, I stopped because I just saw so many deficiencies in so many people. And when you think about it, Doug, my patient bias is people who are already into sort of functional medicine, into eating healthy already. And so they should be the best of the majority. They're not the ones eating at McDonald's and, you know, all these other places, fast food wise. They're the ones that are actually eating salads once a day and things like that. And there's still the micro deficiency and the increase in the roots sucking in the glyphosate that's in our soil now. All these things are real things that we should be paying attention to. It's not just in our heads. So when we work with people, and if they tell me I'm sick all the time, I actually had a high school girl that I just saw who missed 6 months of school last year because of being sick all the time. Just got a cold. We started working together in November. Just got a cold in December. And the mom called me and said it lasted 2 days. And she was so happy. Wow. She's like, no antibiotics, no school missed. It lasted 2 days. And she, in her portal message, said, I guess what we're doing must be working. And you know what?
Yeah.
It really does work. I think, and so that's the bottom line. You know, the supplements we sell, they're what I use for my patients. I'm not going to give, you know, the myvitamin.com is not going to get some weird supplements and my patients are going to get the good ones. It's clear. It's everything across the board. And I share as much as I can because I truly want people to really be healthy because I feel so guilty having all of these benefits in our house. In our household, my kids know how to do this stuff. My daughter made the immunity soup that I make for her for her roommate. And if you want the recipe for the immunity soup, just send me a message on Instagram. I'm easy to find on Instagram. There's not a lot of Bashima Williamses out there. So Dr. Dr. Bashima Williams on Instagram, ask me for my immune soup recipe. It's something that I've made for years, but it starts with a good bone broth. That's why you have bones in your freezer all the time, so that when you do start feeling sick, you can make your own fresh bone broth and you can add a little lemongrass. And there's a root called astragalus root that is sort of this Chinese medicine secret. I don't know why more people don't know about it, but I'll tell you what, it nips a virus in the bud like you wouldn't believe. And it also helps with calming and restoring some of the gut mucosal barrier. Plus the bone broth is so good for your gut. And it's also rich with all the micronutrients that your body needs when you get sick. So diet, super important. But when you're sick, drinking this immunity soup is amazing. It's really what I've primarily used to treat any viruses in our house.
That's fantastic. And I, you know, look, I love drinking bone broth. Okay. I mean, I never thought I'd ever say that. Who the heck am I? But, but I'm serious. It's comforting.
It is.
You know, so, but on Instagram, where can people tell me deets? I'm not on Instagram. So tell me how people can find you.
Yeah, if you search my name on Instagram, if you're in the Instagram app and you type in Dr. Bashima Williams, Basima Williams, I'll pop right up because I'm the only one with that name. So
and folks,
as far as I know.
Okay. Well, that's good. And Dr. Williams is an MD, medical doctor. Okay. Just saying, she's a medical doctor. Now, don't hold that against her, but understand that she's not like your average medical doctor, let me tell you, because she spends a lot of time researching, a lot of time. Oh, go ahead.
No, 2 days a week I spend researching, preparing for podcasts, our radio show that we have. And just in functional medicine, if you're not literally doing that on a regular basis, you'll be outdated in 6 months. And I don't want to be outdated in 6 months. I don't want to ever be outdated. I actually love this, so I don't mind doing it. But I do want to just say I'm actually a DO, which is a MD. And we also learn a lot of chiropractic type treatments. So my tendency was always to try to treat the body as a whole and allow the body to heal itself, which osteopathic manipulation allows you to do that. Now, unfortunately, in real practice, when my husband and I practiced together, and by the way, if you're seeing a DO or an MD, you're not going to notice a difference unless the DO does osteopathic manipulation, which some still do. Unfortunately, because of the medical system, the way it was, we were given 10 to 15 minutes per patient. There's no way we could have done the manipulation that we had learned. So we just became, you know, sort of regular MDs in our practice. But we always try to incorporate the holistic approach to our patients' treatment plans ever since day one. I mean, we've been practicing together now for almost 30 years, my husband and I, and we're both DOs, and we've always treated ourselves with the osteopathic manipulation we learned. I'm teaching my children how to do it. My daughter's in medical school right now. She's becoming a DO as well because they see and believe in it because of what we had fostered in our own house. So definitely, I just want to make sure we mention sugar is very inflammatory. Get rid of sugar in your diet. But by my goodness, if you are eating a lot of sugar, if you have insulin resistance and you have obesity, you have a significantly increased risk of developing upper respiratory infections and being chronically sick. Like, you know, not only do you miss work and you have to lay in bed and you feel crappy, But why? You know, it's like you can prevent it. And so why not focus on that? Why not focus all of our energy on that instead of, you know, all these people getting all these vaccines and all, and I'm not saying don't vax, you know, I'm not a medical doctor to anyone except, you know, you I am, Doug, because we made that patient relationship. But this is just information. I think we're missing the boat here. We are missing the boat in terms of preparing our bodies for the virus. And when a body is prepared, it can kill it. God created our body to be able to kill a virus. Otherwise, we'd all be dead. And so the problem is that we rely on everything else. We rely on calling our doctor for antibiotics or steroids or, you know, whatever. We don't need that stuff. I mean, most of the time, I haven't taken antibiotics since I think 2001 or two. And so we generally, most of the time, don't need it. Now, you needed it in the hospital. Most of us don't need it on a regular daily, monthly basis. And so, and I've proven that over and over. And this is what I mean by when I'm sitting at home, I feel guilty that I have all this information and I haven't shared it. So diet, really important to get rid of the sugar and also get rid of the bad for you oils, inflammatory oils. Focus on the healthy omega-3s, the avocados, the olives, flaxseed, chia seed, raw nuts are good, especially walnuts. So increase your food intake of that and get rid of the processed foods, and your body will really reward you in terms of just more energy, less brain fog, and a better immune system.
I love it. Yes. And Dr. Williams is a DO, a doctor. DO. Okay. Which obviously, you know, but let me ask you a question about that. If I can,
yeah.
The manipulation today, because I know a lot of the listeners out there and viewers are going to have this question. If they go see a chiropractor, are you in favor of the chiropractors that use what do they call those guns things? You know what I'm talking about, folks.
Those stimulators. Okay. They do work in a population of patients. And I do believe in, you know, when we went to medical school, you know, we learned, like I said, we learned everything the MDs did. But then we learned how to get rid of a sinus infection, for example, naturally. And so we learned how to use essential oils. We learned how to literally drain the sinus cavities and how to move the fascia so your body and lymphatics drain naturally. To me, that's like gold, you know? It's gold. Yeah. I have essential oils everywhere here for that reason. And so when you have a migraine, we get rid of it with manipulation. We don't need to use drugs. The only downside to being a DO, in my opinion, is if you can't just be a DO and have a practice that really focuses on manipulation, but then also, you know, you get to integrate the medical in it. That's the difference with between chiropractic and DOs, is you get to integrate the medical with it so you can prescribe medications and do all this other stuff. You can even be an ENT surgeon and be a DO, you know, whatever. DOs are anything MDs are, DOs are. But more in that sense, in a sense that we get to also really treat the body holistically and really kind of, it's what I call the 360 approach to your care. And I absolutely love having our bodies. I'm a big believer, you know, I'm a big believer in, we already have what it takes to fight these viruses and these bugs and, you know, the migraines and all of this stuff. We already have it. We already have those tools, just like they did back in the old days. And we just got to use them. You know, we don't need to be relying on medications for everything. There's some great medications out there. I'm not putting that down, and I have to prescribe some at times. But if I can help your body heal itself, that's where that, you know.
And folks, you know something, I know for a fact that there are a lot of type 2 diabetics out there in my audience. I know that they're taking, for example, metformin, but let me tell you something. How about there coming a day after maybe 15, 20 years of that, where you have met a very intelligent doctor by the name of Dr. Williams. You have been listening to what she's saying, being treated by Dr. Williams, for example, and all of a sudden you don't have to take that anymore. Can you, the life changing, man, that is life changing. There's a lot. And I got to say this, Dr. Williams is perhaps, no, not perhaps. She is the most intelligent, well-researched,